Looking at the book of Psalms, and my plan is to preach from the book of Psalms 3 to 4 more, which means this month will be preaching from Psalms, and then next month we'll go to a different subject, Reform Faith, and we'll be looking at the Reform Theology, and then month of November we'll go to book of Ephesians, if God allows me, and in December we'll go to the book of Isaiah. That's kind of my sermon plan up to the month of December. So today our text is book of Psalm 26, page number is 583, another psalm from David. Before reading our text, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you again. We are ready to listen to your word, the stories from the Bible, your revelation, your salvation plan, your holiness, your greatness, your mighty work throughout your people. Lord, all the things that we are reading, about to read today, written 1,000 years ago, we know that it's not only just for David or other people, but this text is relevant to us, our lives. It's for us. So would you please bless us and help us focus our minds and hearts to you, and giving our hearts to our Lord Jesus Christ. As I'm going to deliver your word, also bless me so that we all together will see your glory. We will honor you. We will see the glory of Jesus Christ from the text. Speak to us, Lord. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 26, 583 from the Pew Bibles. We're using the ESV version. Psalm 26 of David. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind, and your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. I do not sit with men of falsehood, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the assembly of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not sweep my soul away with sinners, nor my life with a bloodthirsty man, in whose hands are evil devices, and whose right hands are full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me, and be gracious to me. My foot stands on level ground in the great assembly. I will bless the Lord. This is the word of God. I encourage you to continue to open your Bible if you want, and because I will go through verse 1 through 12, and I will mention verse 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, and I want you to look at the verse with me. Psalm 26, which is interesting, Psalm is known as an individual lament, or interpreted as the prayer of a sick man who is really sick. But the Calvin understood this psalm as a psalm of innocence, because the psalmist here, which is David, wants to prove his innocence and in asking God's judgment of God. So interestingly, but there is no reference of sickness in this psalm, and other false accusations against the psalmist. So that's an interesting thing. Some people understand that this psalm is written for and proving that there is a false accusation, but there's not specific mention about false accusation in this psalm. So recent study on Psalm 26, lots of scholars, and they argue that Psalm 26 is a worship psalm. And I agree with them. It's a ritual psalm. So this particular psalm was for anyone who wants to enter the sanctuary, the presence of God, to worship God, like you and me. So scholars understand that this psalm is a part of an entrance liturgy. So people come and they read the psalm before participating in worship at the temple. And also the psalm is, if we see the psalm is like entrance liturgy, and we understand that the psalm is very close to Psalm 15 and 24 we read at the Confession of Sins and Assurance of Forgiveness. Not assurance of forgiveness and opening part. But both Psalm 15 and 25 raised similar questions like Psalm 26. Like Psalm 24 says, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord?" It's asking question, who can do that? Psalm 15, "Who shall dwell on your holy hill?" In Psalm 26, the psalmist tries to prove that his pure heart, his innocent heart, is right there in front of God. And also he wants to say that he's longing to worship God. That's about Psalm 26. So, I believe that Psalm 26 is a great psalm for all of us, you and me, to examine our hearts before God. Do we have that pure heart? Do we have the willingness to serve Him and worship Him, longing to worship Him? That we are going to look at our hearts today. So Psalm 26, I can say, has three different parts that I divided, which is verse 1 through 3, and then 4 to 10, 11 to 12. The first part is about prayer. The second part is about desire to worship the Lord, which is verse 4 and 10. And the last one is 11 and 12 is like a confession of his faith in God, so which is well constructed, and all the words and verb forms and what we'll look at today, we'll find the treasure of this psalm, and we will re-examine our hearts through David's prayer. So let's look at the verse 1 and 3, which is a prayer part. Now pray. Here David prays for divine judgment, interestingly, divine judgment and testing in verses 1 and 2. It says, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, for I have trusted in the Lord without wavering." Verse 2, "Prove me, O Lord, and try me, and test my heart and my mind." When I read this part, I thought, wow, he's really brave. How can you say to God that, "Vindicate me, prove me, try me, test my heart and my mind"? As I already mentioned, we see this psalm as a worship psalm. Then we see that the boldness of David's heart and faith in these verses before God. Now, David clearly expresses his burning desire to worship God and before entering God's sanctuary. So, four times he said, "Vindicate me," which means in Hebrew, judge or govern, and "prove me," which means in Hebrew means examine and try, and "try me," and that means in Hebrew, test. And "test me," that's interesting, Hebrew means refine or test. So he used all different words here. Now, to be honest with you, it's not easy for us to pray like him. Then we see that David, he opened his entire life before God in saying that there is nothing that I'm trying to hide from you, or there is nothing that I'm pretending to be holy or pretending to love you, Lord. And saying that, God, look at me, look at my life. You can examine my heart and test my faith and refine my soul and judge me. And I am here in front of you to worship you, Lord, the Holy God. That's his confession that we read, verse 1 and 2. So in that sense, Psalm 26 is pretty much similar to Psalm 15. And we read, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? And verse 2, he who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, and so on and so on. David here is not bragging about his life. He's not comparing his holiness, righteousness with others. He's not talking about self-righteousness and sinless life. Not that way. He says, vindicate me, prove me, try me, test me, because I don't have any sin. No, not that way. Rather, David humbly proves that his integrity and his trust for God and his desire for participating in worship. He wants to worship the Lord. That's why he could say, Lord, examine me and test me and refine me and judge me. By reading his confession, it's a powerful prayer. We can see that how much he really wanted to worship the Lord, come to his presence and to pray to God and give glory to him. Now, although David wrote this psalm, this particular Psalm 26 would be spoken by any worshiper, including you and me today, before the entrance of the sanctuary to worship our holy God. Now, it doesn't mean that the Psalms 26 can be read only Lord's Day, like a Sunday today, to worship God. But Psalm 26 is a great psalm to read every day, to re-examine our hearts before God's presence at any time. And when we meditate, when we read the Word of God, we can re-examine and we can read the psalm and we can worship the Lord. When we offer our prayers to God, we also bring Psalm 26 and say, Lord, we want to worship you. This is our heart. In any situation, we will be ready to declare our willingness to worship God like David. Would you? Would you do that? I think that will be kind of challenging for us because we know that we are imperfect. We are sinners before God. Sometimes we are afraid to say, prove me and try me and test me. And let's see verse 3, how David said about that. He said, verse 3, after saying, God, prove me, vindicate me, try me, test my heart. And after saying that, he said, for because your steadfast love is before my eyes. That is really comforting our hearts. And I walk in your faithfulness. Verse 1 and 2, David asked God's judgment to examine his heart. Then in verse 3, He tells us why he was sure and bold and before God's presence. Why? Because your steadfast love is before my eyes. Because I walk in your faithfulness. If we read 1 and 2 Samuel, I've been reading this week, you will see, you will easily identify many stories of, this is what I found, I wrote down here, betrayals and betray each other and deceptions, dishonor and lies, conspiracies, and everything in 1 and 2 Samuel and other books. But David, King David was standing in the middle of all kinds of problem and all kinds of these stories in the Bible. And even he committed sins against God. He killed his faithful soldier, Uriah the Hittite. He killed him to take his wife as his own wife. Bathsheba, the daughter of Oth. That means Hebrew meaning. But amazingly, he said in Psalm 26, David is declaring, and his declaration is true, that God's steadfast love is still with me, in front of me, and God's faithfulness is with me all the time. He had all kinds of serious troubles after troubles that I don't want to see, I don't want to have, but he had, like, serious troubles. But he confessed in his psalm today that I'm okay. Because why? Because I have God's steadfast love. Because God's faithfulness with me. We are like him. We are like a horrible sinners before God. But what we need is God's steadfast love and God's faithfulness. So David prays again and again and inquires God's mercy and his grace in this verse 3. Not based on his activities or his righteousness, his merit and work and deed, but based on God's steadfast love, unchanging love, his faithfulness. David is asking, test me, test my heart. David is humbling himself before the Lord, the mighty hands of God. That's his prayer. I'm sure that his prayer moves you and me, our hearts as well, because we are the one who received God's steadfast love already and experiencing God's faithfulness every day. Like David, there is nothing that we have we can brag about in front of God. Bible said we are like a dust. We'll be gone. We are only a vapor and appearing a little while and then vanishing and we'll be gone. But the God loved you and me and has poured out his love into us. As the Bible says, Christ died while we were still sinners. We already got his steadfast love, his faithfulness. Now, David's prayer also reminds us of Psalm 8. It's amazing. Psalm said he's praising the creation and he says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Did you see that? What is man like you and me that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? We do have his faithfulness, steadfast love. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about your current circumstances. I don't have to say my troubles, problems to you. But you might have serious health issues that you don't know what to do, and waiting for God's healing power and his answer. Maybe your life has been devastated by people around you and broken relationship that sometimes you trusted, but you betrayed. You feel that life is empty. There's nothing you can do and meaningless. Why am I living in this earth? But I want to say from Psalm 26, don't be deceived by these things. David had many troubles, the same troubles after troubles. Saul tried to kill him many times. David's son Absalom tried to kill him again and again. Now people like Simei, he cursed him, cursed the king David. But listen to his prayer. Because your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. What a wonderful confession he is making. He's challenging our hearts. David wanted to worship the Lord. His desire to worship the Lord is written verse 4 and 10. Throughout verse 4 and 10, David changes a little bit his tone of prayer, and he said, I and I and I, and seven times in the ESV, in our Bible. And all these I statements in the verses 4 and 10 are verb forms, and in Hebrew, it's a verb. So I'm going to help you a little bit. This is kind of difficult, but I'll try. I love the Hebrew language when I was in seminary and after graduation. Forgetting. But I try to go back to reading Hebrew Bible. This is what I found this week. Now, in this verse 4 and 10, David used very, very fine words. And the first verb that I can say it in Hebrew term is qual perfect. It's a perfect form, meaning it's a simple past or present perfect, which is verse 4 and 5 and 8. Now, verse 4, it's interesting. He said, I do not sit with men of falsehood. But it's in qual perfect in Hebrew, so I think King James Version is a little bit more specific. King James Version said, I have not sat. That is more understandable. In verse 5, our ESV said, I hate the assembly of evildoers. That's what he's saying. I hate those people. But King James Version translated like, I have hated the congregation of evildoers. You see what he's trying to say? Continually doing something. And verse 8, O Lord, I love the habitation of your house. Now, King James Version is more understandable. It's, I have loved the habitation of thy house, your house. Which means, not just only I love to be here in your sanctuary, but I have loved continually. I want to be with you. That's verse 4, 5, 8. That's qual perfect form. Now, another verb is qual imperfect, which is verse 4, 5, and 6. We will look at that. That means future or habitual action. Now look at verse 4, ESV. Nor do I consort with hypocrites. And the King James Version translates like this. Neither will I go in with dissemblers. And verse 5. I will not, ESV, I will not sit with the wicked. Now, King James Version, I will not sit with the wicked. Pretty much same. The verse 6, I wash my hands in innocence, symbolizing his innocence. It's washing his hand. King James Version goes like, I will wash my hands in innocency. So it tells about his habitual action, continually doing it, and he will do. And the last one is verse 6. That is more intensive and future, which is a PL verb. And the verse 6 says, go around your altar. And the King James Version goes, will I compass thine altar? It's talking about a future. Some other verbs found in verse 7 and 7, when Pastor Perry preaches, he said, cause to proclaim, that is the hifil verb, is found in verse 7 and the PL verb. But we are going to focus on this call, perfect and imperfect and PL verb I just mentioned. Now, don't get me wrong to tell, I don't want to tell these different forms of verbs, and I'm trying to teach you not that way. Two reasons for me to bring this issue to learning about this, all these different types of verbs today is, look at David's intention. Why he used this verb, that verb, and those verbs. Now, David here is not bragging. This is what I did. Not bragging about what he has done before God. So that he proves that, yeah, I'm able to worship you, Lord. Look at me, I'm great. Not that way. Rather here, he simply affirms his integrity. His integrity before God. Present perfect, which is verse 4, 5, 8. I have not sat with men of falsehood. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. I have loved the habitation of your house. That's his desire. And verse 4, 5, 6, another one, future and habitual. I will not do consort with the hypocrites. I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash habitual and my hands in innocence. And verse 6, go around means I will go to you, to your altar, and to worship you. Through all these verses that we looked at, that David carefully picked and used, literally we see the vivid description of his heart. We can imagine his heart. His heart was pounding and beating really hard for longing to be with the Lord, to worship Him. Not just using some words and he's saying, not that way. He picked some words and to express his willingness to worship God. And his lips were busy to praise the Lord and to proclaim God's wondrous deeds. It's exciting. He wanted to enter the presence of the Lord. I want to go to you. I want to worship you. I want to bless the Lord Almighty God. That's why he used all different verb forms here. And he says, verse 8, after saying all these things, oh Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Your glory dwells. Brothers and sisters, what about you and me today, this morning? Why we are here? Why do we come to this place? What about this question? Are we longing to worship our Lord Jesus Christ? What about this question? Is our heart trembling when we think of God's presence? When we declare, we will bless you, Lord, like David? What is your heart saying to you this very moment? Bless the Lord, praise the Lord for his steadfast love and faithfulness. Worship him alone. Or something else. Can we pray like David? I have not sat with men of falsehood. I have hated evildoers. I washed my heart. I have come to you to worship you. In other words, can we say like, my life was completely fixed on my Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Not just only Sunday, but every day. David's prayer, he goes like a verse 9 and 10. He says, do not sweep my soul away with the sinners, nor my life with a bloodthirsty man. Verse 10, in those in whose hands are evil devices and whose right hands are full of bribes. Now once again here, he inquires God's mercy and grace. Commentator that I read says here this part, for sinners or bloodthirsty men to enter God, this is quoting, for sinners and bloodthirsty men to enter God's house would be a suicidal act. I laugh a lot when I'm reading this one. That's a suicidal act because God will destroy such evildoers based on Psalm 5 verse 6. So, David knew that. David knew that God will destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. David knew that. So, he's praying to God, God's deliverance, his mercy from death and judgment. And verse 11, David says, redeem me and be gracious to me, Lord. What David wanted was mercy, God's mercy. He concludes this psalm with his sincere prayer asking for God's mercy. As a worshiper, he must have kept his life holy and pure. He must have tried. Yet the most important thing is not his deeds and merits, things that he have, but God's mercy and grace alone. And his confession of faith reminds us of what Paul says in Romans 5. Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So through him, we have also obtained an access by faith into his grace. Through grace, we go grace. Grace, we meet our Lord in which we stand. So Paul says, this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And David says pretty much same in verse 12. My foot stands on the level ground. Deuteronomy 11:25. There shall no man be able to stand before God. But David says, my foot stands on level ground. And Romans 5 says, faith into his grace in which we stand. And Romans 3:10 says, no one is righteous, not even one. But David says, my foot stands on level ground. God's grace, only grace in Christ allows us to be able to stand in front of God. That's you and me. I was reading one of the books this week, James Montgomery Boyce, and I bought that book to prepare for next sermon series, and he says about grace in his book, whatever happened to the gospel of grace, he says, quote, amazing grace really is amazing. It is the most amazing thing in the universe. We have that amazing grace. Jesus Christ. John Calvin says, he, which means David, proceeds to show that he was a true worshiper. That's Psalm 26. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to challenge you and your heart again, asking the following questions. Why am I here today? Am I a true worshiper? Or just sitting here making my seat warm and after 1 hour later I'll go home. Feel like I have done my duty today. Psalm 26 is inviting us not just only Lord's Day, but every day. Every day, worship the Lord. John MacArthur says in his book, Worship, he says, real acts of worship must be the overflow of perpetually worshiping life. And every moment, every life must be our worship moment. That's Psalm 26. David concludes in Psalm 26 like this. In the great assembly, I will bless the Lord. We will conclude our worship today like this. We will bless the Lord every day. Lord, come and help us. Let's pray. And Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us Psalm 26, reminding us of the preparation of our hearts before going into your presence. Lord, every Lord's Day, every Sunday, we come to this place like a habit. Sometimes we come here because we don't want to have guilt feeling. But like as our duty, Lord, would you please help us? Would you please bless our hearts that we can bless you? We're longing to worship you like David.
We come to this place. We go to our small group meetings. We go to our prayer meetings. We go to a coffee break in GEMS and KIDAP ministries, not as our duties, but because we're longing to worship you, Lord. Help us to have that mind and that heart for the entire of our life. We pray, your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.